Today, we'll talk about ways to surprise your kids with a Disney World trip. That's coming up on this episode 20 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert. I am the creator of WDWPrepSchool.com, where you can find me a couple of times a week with new posts, and also obviously the creator of this podcast. Another good place to come and join the community is on the Facebook page, where we have lots of good discussions, and that is at facebook.com/WDWPrepSchool. Welcome to this episode. I am excited about it. I think I say that in about at least half of the episodes. I'm excited about every episode. But this one's fun because it's about how to surprise kids with a Disney World trip. And I'm looking forward to diving into four different ideas that I have for you. They're based on some ideas that I've come up with, things that I've seen other people do that I'm just sort of giving you information on how to execute those plans. And so we'll dive into those in just a little bit. Before we get into the main topic, I did want to go ahead and mention iTunes. If you are an iTunes user, I would really appreciate if you could leave a rating and or review. And you can do that by going through the app or going to wdwprepschool.com/iTunes, which will take you to the app. And the reason is that there are a lot of Disney podcasts as well. And so the more ratings there are, the more it shows up. So if you have somebody planning their trip and they say, you know, they're a podcast listener and they really want to listen to Disney World planning information, they might go into iTunes, search Disney World, and the more ratings it has, the higher up the list it will show up. And so they're more likely to be able to find this podcast to listen to it. So I've been really lucky so far to have lots of positive ratings, and so I appreciate every one of them. The one I have today is long, and I am going to read it because it calls out specific episodes as being particularly helpful. And if you are new to the podcast, this might be sort of a nice overview about podcasts that you will want to go back and listen to, other episodes that might be helpful to you. So the subject of this iTunes review is Excited First Timer, and it was left by, I'm not sure how to pronounce the name. It looks French. It looks like De Ponsovi. I'm not sure. That's my best guess. Okay. So I'm going to read through this, and it's going to take me a minute, but I think it's worth it. So here's what it says. Last night, I listened to a bunch of Shannon's podcasts, specifically episodes 2, 8, 10, 13, 14, and 15, on my drive back to college. My drive is almost 5 hours long, yet her enthusiastic personality truly made it speed by. I can honestly say that out of the many times I've made the trip, this was the first ride that was actually enjoyable thanks to her podcast. Before stumbling upon WDW Prep to Go, I had tried listening to a couple others first, many of which I changed my mind about not very far in. I'm making my first trip to Disney World. I went when I was 2 years old, but I have no memory of it, and so I'm counting this as my true first time in just 12 days. Before listening to Shannon's podcast, I was excited about the trip, and yet I didn't really have any idea of what to expect. After listening, I have made checklists of what to see and do, and even included tips and the best way to do it all enjoyably. Not only was her podcast nice in boosting my excitement for my trip, but it also alleviated some worries. I am expecting and will be 19 to 20 weeks pregnant during my trip. Thanks to all these podcasts I listen to, I've now realized there is plenty more to do than just rides. Episode 15 with Kenny the Pirate truly got me excited to take some wonderful maternity pictures with the park's characters as keepsakes for my little one. I even bought an iron-on patch that says my first trip to Disney with little Mickey ears and button shorts to put on my bump. Not to mention his story about how he became the character guy was touching. Episode 8 made me excited to get our special occasion button for our first visit, as well as consider making my own for expecting a new Mouseketeer. I guess that's the button she's going to do, expecting a new Mouseketeer. Also, the Mickey ear. Specifically, I'd like to get a pair embroidered with my little one's name. Episode 10 truly had some great apps and gadget suggestions for the trip that I will be looking further into, especially now that I'm not driving, which is another great asset to her podcast, her notes and website to follow up on what you've heard. And episode 13 might just have been my favorite, specifically the Bee Tinkerbell and Fairy Godmailer ideas. I think the episode she's talking about is about adding extra magic for your trip. I can't wait to try to include these suggestions into making her trip that much more magical for her. Again, as most other reviews have stated, Shannon's very enthusiastic. She's a very enthusiastic host that is honest about her opinions and truly cares about her listeners and their experiences rather than her ratings. Like many others, I love her willingness to link off. Thanks for the great show, Shannon. And I really appreciate you taking the time to break it down by your favorite episodes. You know, that was pretty incredible. You know, we're at episode 20 now, so now we have a little bit of a library built up, and I appreciate, you know, somebody would go through the episodes that we have and write them in the review. So thank you so much for that, and any review that comes in, I appreciate it. And if you are an iTunes user and interested in leaving a review, it could be in a future podcast episode. So let's talk about surprising your kids with the Disney World trip. So first of all, before we even get into the ideas, I want to talk a little bit about expectations. And that is that I think a lot of parents have this idea that they're going to be able to surprise their kids and they're going to freak out and it's going to be this magical moment. And, you know, they have these expectations that almost never get lived up to. And so I just want to set some expectations that you won't have expectations for how your kids will react. If you wake them up in the morning and you're getting them out of bed, there's a good chance that they'll be too groggy to be super excited. Or if you told them they were going somewhere else and now you're telling them they're going to Disney World, they might have the type of personality that gets upset when changes are made to their plans. My family with my kids, surprises don't work. They get very anxious, and my kids actually really like having itineraries ahead of time because they want to know what to expect, and it just makes them feel less anxious about everything if they kind of know the plan. So, you know, but for people whose kids are all about it and are game for it and will think it's fun, I think it's a really fun thing to do for them, but just don't be disappointed if it doesn't quite work out how you plan. Disney did an advertising campaign. I can't remember when it was. It was a few years ago. And basically what Disney did was they went on YouTube and they searched for surprise Disney reaction videos, and they took the positive ones and put them in commercials. But for every positive one, there's at least, another one that's negative, maybe even more negative ones than positive ones. But anyway, it may not work out quite exactly how you imagined it, so just prepare for that ahead of time. But having said that, if you want to do a surprise, here are some ideas. Let's dive in. Number one idea is to have a custom-made lottery ticket to give to your child, and when they scratch it off, it reveals that you're going to Disney World. Now, there's a couple ways that you can do this. The first one involves you making your own. And I will link off to a tutorial about how to do that, but the overall gist of it is that you take cardstock where you print off the lottery ticket itself, and then you apply laminate or tape on the area that you want to be scratchable. Then you do a mixture of dish soap and acrylic paint and apply it to that area. Once it dries, you apply it again. And then you can scratch it off at this point because the acrylic paint and soap makes a good scratch off material. So I would say that as you're planning a lottery ticket to take some inspiration from existing lottery tickets, I really like the idea of having a play game area and a prize area. And, you know, a lot of lottery tickets are structured like this. So you scratch off the play area and it says, if you have tic-tac-toe, or if you get three of something, then you win the prize that's in the prize area. So, you know, you can set it up so that they get tic-tac-toe or whatever it is in the game area. And then when they go to scratch off the prize, it says the prize is a trip to Disney World or something like that. So that's one idea. If you don't want to make your own, You can also order custom ones online that are made for you. One of the challenges of ordering online is that most websites are created for businesses or large events. Like some people will do lottery tickets as part of their wedding, you know, big groups. And so if you just want one or two of them, that can be a little bit challenging. But there is an Etsy shop that will do one at a time. And I think the prices are around $7 to $12, depending on what you get. But there's an Etsy shop that I will link off to, and it has a lot of beautiful things that she creates. But she has some scratch-off ones, like golden tickets, and she also has a secret message decoder, which is a slightly different idea than the lottery ticket, but it's the same shop, and so I thought it was worth mentioning. And so if you order the secret message decoder that she has, you can tell her what message you want to decode, and then so when you get it in the mail, the decoder is like on the right side of the card, and on the left is the message that you have to fill in. And so it could be like, we are going to Disney World, and when they decode it, then they come up with the message. So anyway, so that's kind of the lottery ticket idea with the secret message decoder idea tacked on to the end of it. And that's my first idea. My second idea, this is actually something I've seen someone do on YouTube. So I will post the video so that you can kind of see it executed, but also tell you the steps to create it. So the idea is just that you receive a phone call from a character telling you or inviting you to come to Disney World, which is a simple enough concept, but there are lots of ways that you can customize it to make it even more exciting. So first of all, you'll have to have a character call you. Now, some people have friends that do impressions of Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck or whatever, so that's an option. But you can also go on a website called Fiverr.com, which is one of my favorite places to go online. It's just super fun. And the thing about Fiverr.com is that everything there costs $5. And the website is F-I-V-E-R-R.com. And of course, will be included in the show notes. So if you're driving, don't feel like you have to write it down or remember it. But on Fiverr.com, there are people that do voices, and you can pay them $5 to make a recording for somebody, you know, like happy birthday or whatever. But you can also have them call you or provide a recording that you can then use to call yourself with later, okay? So I'm going to play a couple of samples. This first guy is a guy who will do, like, I think Mickey and Goofy, and he will actually call you if you want at a specific time. So here's a sample of what he sounds like.
Or let's say you're going to Disney World, and you want your kids to be hyped up for it. Leave your number, and I will call them and do voices of me. Like Mickey?
Oh, hey, everybody!
Or Goofy? Oh, you're coming down here to see me!
Okay, so that's the Mickey and the Goofy, and then here is a princess voice that you can buy for $5.
Hello, you've reached Martha's voicemail, the most magical voicemail around. Let me tell you something, leave your number, and she'll get back to you as soon as she can. Have a magical day!
All right, so pretty good, right? And it's only $5 for a pretty convincing effect. Or, you know, you can have a friend do it. However you do it, it's great if you can get a character to call you. Now, when they call you, if you have children who are really aware of what's happening on the phone, like they're very familiar with technology and they can read a little bit, you might want to go an extra step and have it appear to come from Florida. Now, the way to do that is to go get a free Google Voice number. And, you know, just I'll link to it, but you can just search Google Voice and they give you a free number to call. And if you get one from the 407 area code, that's the same area code as Disney World. So, you know, that could be pretty convincing. And then when the call comes in, your phone will say it's from Florida. So that'll be even more convincing. So you have this character call, the 407 number that you sign up for free on Google Voice. And in the Google Voice settings, you just have it automatically redirect the call to your phone number. You with me so far? Okay. So then the third step that you could do is for that phone, you could set your phone up that if any calls come from this new Google Voice number, that it displays as Disney World or Cinderella or whatever you want that contact to say. So when it actually comes up on your phone, it'll say, Cinderella is calling from Florida. And you could even assign it a picture, like a picture of Cinderella or a picture of Disney World, whatever the contact is that you've set up. So I hope that makes sense. So this idea is to have a character call you, and the first step is to get the character, however that you want to do that. The second step is to get the Google Voice number set up, and the third is to set a new contact on your phone. So when it comes in, it'll show up. And there's a video of a guy who did this with his daughter, and I will post that in the show notes so you can see how that worked out for him. Okay, so idea number three is a puzzle scavenger hunt. Now, this is another one that I saw on a video. I am always on YouTube looking for videos of Disney World related things, and so this is one that I really liked. And so the basic idea is that you have a puzzle, and it has clues on one side that like allow you to go find different puzzle pieces around your house. And on the other side, it has a part of the puzzle that you have to put together at the end. So scavenger hunt around your house with clues that lead you, you know, from one to the other. And at the end, you have all your puzzle pieces, you put it together, and it says, we're going to Disney World. And I really like this. I think the family that's in the video I saw had three kids of different ages, and it really allowed them to all participate because they had to work together to figure out what the clues meant. And at the end, they had to work together to put the puzzle together. And it was really kind of good group effort. So the way to do this, there's a couple ways you could do it, but the puzzle itself is the, you know, main project here that you have to kind of figure out. You can take a picture and upload it on a website, and I'll post a link in the show notes, and it will cut it up in two pieces, so you can cut on the lines, and it'll all fit together as a puzzle, and then you would write on the back the different clues to get the pieces, okay? You can also order a puzzle online, and it only costs about $5 or so, and so you would get the thick cardboard material puzzle, and you would upload a picture. Actually, there's a website that I was using, I was playing around with, and you don't even have to have a picture. You can just say, I want it to be this color, and I want it to say these words, and it'll be shipped to you, and then on the back of each piece, you could write the clues or however you want to do it, but I'll link to that in the show notes. So this third idea is a puzzle scavenger hunt that I really like for families with multiple children that have to work together to solve it. And idea, the final and fourth idea is kind of similar, and it's really for people who are doing road trips to Disney World. And this is another one that I have a video for, and it's another family that had three daughters of different ages. And what they did was they told their kids that they were going somewhere. I can't remember where they told them they were going, but it wasn't Disney World. And they decided to entertain them along the way with clues about where they were actually going. And so, you know, if you're going on a long road trip, part of it is how to entertain the kids. So entertaining them could be, you know, surprising them with the trip. So what they did was they hid clues in the car, and each one became, you know, progressively more detailed. And so, you know, as they went along and had several clues that they had solved, it was more obvious where they were actually going. And this was a super cute kind of idea. And I like this for families with varying age children as well, because you can definitely tailor the clues to allow the little ones to get involved. Like this family said something about, your next clue is hidden in the youngest child's book or something. So then the youngest child had to get it out. So even though she couldn't read the clues or solve puzzles, she could still find clues that were sort of hidden in her items. So it was really cute. So fourth idea is a scavenger hunt in the car to help pass time on the road trip on the way to Disney World. So very quickly, to recap, the first idea was a lottery ticket, whether you make it yourself or order it. Number two was having a character call you. Three was a puzzle scavenger hunt around the house. And fourth was a road trip scavenger hunt. So I hope one of those maybe sparked an idea in you. And I'd love to hear your thoughts. If you have ideas to share, please come to the site and leave those in the show notes. The more, the better, because, you know, people are always looking for ideas. We That's going to almost wrap it up today, but I do have a quick tip of the day before we head out. My quick tip of the day is about the Mission Space ride at Epcot. Now, a lot of people avoid this ride because they are afraid of motion sickness, and it's a valid concern. I've seen people get quite nauseous on this ride before. However, my tip is to try to avoid that. And so what happens on Mission Space is you get, there are four people in the ride at a time, and you have a harness over your shoulders, and each person has a screen in front of them where you can see what's going on the mission. And there's also buttons that each person has to push because everybody has a different job. And so when it's your turn, you're supposed to just push the button. So my tip is to just keep facing forward on Mission Space. And that seems simple enough, but when you have a child sitting next to you, I think the natural instinct is to look over towards them, make sure they're okay, make sure they're, you know, doing their job or whatever it is. But don't do that. Face forward. Your child's going to be okay. It's not that intense. They're harnessed in and they're safe. Face forward. Don't look around and focus on doing your job, pushing your buttons, and just sort of following the storyline. And motion sickness will be a lot less likely to occur. Now, if your family wants to go on it, and you still don't because of motion sickness or whatever, the exit area to Mission Space is kind of a fun area to hang out and play. And so that's always an option as well if you decide to opt out of the ride. Okay, I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information on this episode, you can visit wdwprepschool.com/episode20. And that is the number 20. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.